Hi, this is Mike G, and welcome to our content session. We're going to talk about probe in just a few slides here. And as we go from what was really a good demonstration of pinging, Lori did a great job in showing us lots of different ways to use pings. We're going to talk about probe and see if we can see what the difference is in terms of how we use this particular P or probe in dynamic inquiry. There are so many learnings that we had in the last debrief. We should actually, in a class face-to-face, we would just list them on a board because there were so many teachable points of view that came out in the debrief. I hope if you haven't listened to that or had a chance to listen to that, that you grab a cup of coffee or put your recording on for a long drive and just listen, because even if you don't hear the whole thing, you're going to get something from that, because there really were a lot of important points that we want to get across. And for those of you that are in the helping business, and for certain those of you that are in the coaching business, and those of you, you're going to learn a lot if you're a person who loves to do transformational work, loves to do developmental work, either with you, yourself, or with people who are you're interacting with. So is dynamic inquiry a probe? What I did was to set the heading up as actually a probe. We still got somebody who's not on mute. Is dynamic inquiry a probe? What I've done here is set this up as an actual probe, because we have already introduced the topic of dynamic inquiry, and we've already introduced the topic of probe. So if we say, is dynamic inquiry a probe? It's a probe. It's not a ping. It can't be a ping because we've already introduced dynamic inquiry and probe. As in our last debrief session with Lori and Gary, Lori, as she languished, much of the meaning-making coming from Gary turned what she thought was a probe into pings, because she was languaging for Gary. She did not use terms that he had already used. She then was turning what she thought was probing into pinging. And while that's not a bad thing at all, in fact, we saw that in some cases it was quite effective, you want to understand the difference. So if you're using something that the person has already said, or you've already said, in the language of the inquiry, it's a probe. Unless you're using who, what, when, where, why, and how, that would automatically classify it as a prompt. And we talked about that already, and a prompt makes an assumption that something already exists, and therefore, if it doesn't exist and you think it exists, then it could be something that's part of the problem, which we need to test as an assumption, and therefore assuming it to be true when it's not actually causes you to work at the same level the problem was created, because you've accepted the assumptions. In ping and probe, we're doing something different. In pinging, we're trying to see if something is out there. Okay, we're testing something. We're using our gut, our intuition, our feel, our ideas, whatever it is in our system, to see if something we think or might have thought exists out there. So we ping it. Okay, because remember, a lot of the helping work that you do is based on assumptional analysis, and therefore you're making assumptions all the time. You want to be careful that the assumptions that you make are in fact the case. Otherwise, you may miss the real problem. That's what most of us do. We assume things to be true when they're not true. We don't take the time to test them. Testing them occurs in a ping. A probe begins to help us reveal the constructs or the structure of the meaning-making system itself and the way it works together. So once someone has tabled it, unless we're going to test it for something else that may be there that may be causing it, and this problem is only noise, not a signal, we're going to use a probe. The probe allows us to, open up whatever it is, to look inside it, to look around, to see what's going on. And when you need more info, it's a way of getting information, getting data, getting how the person has processed that data into conclusions, revealing their ladder of inference. We haven't talked about ladder of inference, but ladder of inference or ladder of abstraction, if you listen to Senge, it came from ladder of inference, which came from his mentor, Chris Argyris, is data, perception, processing of the data into the fourth rung conclusion. The four rungs of the ladder, data, perception, judgment, conclusion. Okay, I threw judgment in there because I wanted to show you how easy it is to put type dynamics against that ladder. But that's the ladder of inference. We need to know sometimes how they're making inferences, because if they're making inferences in a way that are flawed, well, the conclusions will be flawed. And their data, which are normally supported by their conclusions, will in fact be flawed. So unlike a ping, when something is already tabled, the probe is used to get out more info, to reveal the meaning-making system, the ladder of inference, so we can understand how people make meaning. That's important. So remember, what really differentiates the probe is almost always, I won't say 100% of the time, but almost always, you use the language that the person has already used. There are several reasons for doing that. You want to use language that will resonate in order to make it okay to diminish fear, threat, and embarrassment, that it's okay to talk about it. And for some people, this will be really important indirect subconscious permission. So using their language at times is really important. Now, I want to caution you of using things like, it sounds like, because when you do that, you're making a suggestion indirectly, and you want to check first whether or not the person would say that. If you say it sounds like, they're most likely people in rapport are going to agree with you, and therefore you have just glossed over something that may be extremely important. So be careful with your repeating back people's language. I'm not saying don't ever use it, because there are times when it can be a perfect match for what you need. I would just say resist it. Don't make inferences for other people. Don't language things for other people, because you're doing that at your level of capability. And if you're not at the same level, you will begin to create non-actionable, non-sustainable behavior because they don't have the cues, support, and scaffold at the right level. So again, this is an important thing to remember about your active listening courses. Again, I'm not saying never use it. I'm just saying use it as a surgical tool when you need it. Most of the time, resist it, because it carries with it too much loading on level coming from your languaging of their meaning making, which may lead you in the wrong direction in the process. In the next slide, are there reasons to use a probe? Here's an example. I feel like I'm in an no-win situation. Here's a person using a probe. Is this a situation you experience often? Now, you could say something like, I feel like I'm in a no-win situation. You could say something like, oh, I'm sorry for that. Can you tell me about it? But that may not give you the opening that you want to see in a probe, awareness, purpose, competence, well-being, and results. Remember, if the person feels like they're in a no-win situation, that is a suggestion of stuckness, of maybe even overwhelm, of those things that happen to us when we get in cul-de-sacs with problems. So one of the things that we want to do is, in a probe like this, and this is actually probably a level 4 probe, comes from me in my experience rather than something that I should use as a good example. But let me tell you why I use this example. Is this a situation you experience often leads us back to reveal whether the person can take a perspective on their perspective. Okay? In other words, they would have to objectify this feeling and look at it and compare it to other feelings. This would tell us whether the person has capacity, capability, and potential for certain kinds of solutions. Okay? That's the reason why I might ask that question. Hopefully you see it as an example, because you could have said, is this no-win situation something you experience offer, to use more of their language? But again, I use their language, so I would classify this as a probe. It actually is doing double duty, because while it's languaged as a probe, it's a ping. Okay? But it's important to note that technically this is a probe. And the reason that you do probes is to get more out about the meaning-making system in terms of what is capacity, capability, and potential. We may not know that. In this particular case, this serves as a dual probe ping, ping indirect, probe direct, combinatorial effect, which can be very powerful. And again, I'm just noticing here, I'm too many levels away from you. So I would probably revise this in future training to make it more simpler. But you do notice that I use some of their words in the sentence. If you do that, it cannot technically be a ping, although in this particular case, indirectly choose this one. In this case, we're remaining in context set by the person being coached. I call that, in this particular case, coaching. We're probing this context for more structure or mental models about how this concern by the client gets generated. Convention would have us dig right into the problem. In other words, one of the things that dynamic inquiry does is resist problem solving. The reason it does that is we don't know for sure what is generating the problem. And if you don't know, you want to be careful about diving into problem solving, because you end up solving the problem at the level the person thinks it is. Most of the time, problems that we can't solve, problems that we take to someone else, they are level problems. In other words, they are problems that we can't solve at the current level of thinking that we have. We take them to someone else, our manager, our leader, someone who's an expert in the field, whether it's horizontal complexity or vertical complexity or even a combination of the two, in oblique complexity, we need help, some way of thinking about this that we haven't done yet. So in this particular case, it's almost always a level problem, whether that be a horizontal level or a vertical level. And this is why that you want to resist problem solving until you're sure you have the problem and the assumptions behind the problem are in fact true. This is how dynamic inquiry can be extraordinarily helpful. Now, the question is, if you directly avoid the problem solving transaction too long, it will seem to the person like an interrogation. So part of using dynamic inquiry is picking up the resonance that is coming, being attuned to where the person is in the process with you in terms of the problem solving. A lot of times when people have problems, they are already preloaded with emotion. You must recognize and regulate your dynamic inquiry in a way that it doesn't further load them. In fact, you must do it in such a way, which is why we teach customer service people to smile, to say, I'm sorry, to do these kinds of things, because what it begins to do is to desensitize the person to the emotional load that they're carrying when they come in for the problem in the first place. So you want to be careful about ping and probe that you don't overuse them in situations where a prompt would get you farther, faster down the road towards that situation. Again, if a person asks for the milk, if a person says, I'm in pain, if the person says, you know, I need to solve this problem because we have a truck sitting on the highway right now, you want to be careful about transformational work. All I'm saying is that dynamic inquiry can give you the openings, possibilities, plans, outcomes, and right action to be able to help people solve problems differently and not have the problems. Remember I talked about in a diatribe earlier in the program, the best problem to have is the one that you can make go away, that you do not spend my team, money, information, time, energy, action, and motivation solving. In business today, you got too many problems. You can't solve them all. You have to pick the ones you're going to solve, and hopefully the ones you pick to solve eliminate the rest. So problem elimination is very key in this dynamic inquiry process in a VUCA world, in a complex world. So we want to be careful about being able to use these tools just because you know how to use them too far, too much, with too much density and frequency that take you into a context that is actually not available to you. It's not an opening. We call this going into a place where there's no opening. So you want to make sure that the opening does exist for the use of ping and probe and the continued use of it, that you don't either wear out, annoy, piss off, some way of causing more problems than you're trying to solve. So this is important that you do that. So on one hand, we resist problem solving, but we don't resist it so far that we create an adverse action. And that's key. That's probably the main key in understanding how to use dynamic inquiry. Flowing quickly when you don't have an opening into a place where there is an opening, and that would be with the problem that the person brought into you. The question would be in your mind is, does the person continue to have this problem over and over again, and you're spending my team solving it for them over and over and again? That's a question in any system that you have to understand. Well, maybe we need to transform this situation and set up a design that this problem doesn't keep happening. So again, those are things that are important. Is a ping a probe? We talked a little bit about that. Technically, no. A ping is not a probe, although people who are not using a differentiated system like this would call it a probe. Remember, a ping is reserved for something that has not been tabled yet, and it's for testing your own assumptions about the situation that exists in the meaning-making system of the person that you're interacting with. A probe is something that we're using where the inquiry has already been established. The context has already been established. We're not going to introduce more context. We're willing to go with the context that's there. We're not going to shift the frame unless an opening appears for that. And sometimes openings will appear, you know, beginning, middle, end. So you don't know where they're going to appear. And sometimes you've got to take them if you're going to do it, depending on your context and the way in which you're helping. Where probes stay in context, they ask for more info. So in other words, we bound reality, we contextualize it, and then we get more of what's in there. The big idea is to let the other person lead and, of course, do no harm. That's one of the things I love about dynamic inquiry. It's really hard to do harm unless you're just really unconscious about the whole process and you're not using dynamic inquiry. If you're using the skill set of dynamic inquiry, you will do no harm. Because if you're using it, you will have differentiated it from level 0 to level 1. What is a ping, probe, prompt, permit, perturb, and pause? And you will know what you're doing in that process. So you will not do any harm because you will be aware of those different types of discrete inquiry and action. So that's one of the things that's a safety valve built into the system. One of the things that I learned when I codified my coaching work after a decade and wrote the book Coach to the Bottom Line, one of the main things that I wanted to do is do no harm. I don't want to make other people's decisions for them. I want to be helpful. I want to be in service. I want to be a thought partner, but I don't want to make their decisions. And I don't want to help them draw conclusions where they make decisions that are important in their life. I learned that after a few years of divorce mediation. If you've ever done divorce mediation, and thank God if you haven't, you'll realize that people make decisions based on a whole lot of things that you don't want to be a part of. And they're life-wrenching decisions that affect people's whole lives. I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be in service and to help and to become a partner in them having a better life. So I don't want to do any harm. That's why dynamic inquiry emerged, and that's why I've codified it in the way that I have, this whole developmental approach. It does not do harm because you let the person lead. You let the person decide. You let the person choose. And the idea is for you to make that process efficient, effective, and sustainable over time, where people can be, do, have, become, and contribute in ways that are helpful to them. Ping versus probe. Is this a probe or a ping? Well, it can't be a ping because we already introduced ping versus probe, remember? Is this your first visit to our branch or place of business, hospital? Again, that could be a ping. If they have already said, this is my first time, obviously, or they've said, I've never been here before, or I didn't know your company existed. Well, you already know about that. Have you had a savings account before? Again, could be a ping. If the person has mentioned, I'd like to get a savings account, and you say, have you had a savings account before? Well, that's a probe. If the person says, I'm interested in your bank because a friend of mine banks here. Have you had a savings account before? Again, that's a ping. Now, it's an out-of-place ping, but I'm just showing you the difference. I mean, you probably wouldn't say that. You'd probably say something like, welcome, we're glad to have you. How can we be of service? Again, something like that, as opposed to what I said, but I just want to differentiate the two. Could this be an opportunity for you? Well, it could be if we haven't spoken about opportunities. If you said, I'm thinking about going into business because this is a great opportunity. Could this be an opportunity for you? That would be a probe. An out-of-place one, but it would be a probe. Okay? Just so you know the difference between the ping and the probe. The reason it's important is because when you get to level one, you'll know the difference between ping, probe, prompt, permit, perturb, and pause, and then we'll be able to give you more advanced feedback on the way you create density and frequency around using them so you can get to level two. Once you get to level two, you're going to get pretty good because you're going to actually begin to recognize, oh, this is a good place to test assumptions. I'll use a ping. Or this is a good place to rebalance things. Let's give them permission to say more about that. Or I'm going to pause. I don't know what's going to happen in the pause, but I'm just going to pause. I'm not going to talk until they talk. And sometimes that has great benefits. Sometimes it gets you into trouble. You just have to be aware of the difference. So now we would go into our visceral learning cycle and have an interaction so that we can use that for a debrief next time. So what I think we'll do is we'll cut the tape here, you knowing that you can do one of two things, listen to the debrief we did before this session or listen to the debrief after we do this session. It's your choice, but we'll capsulize this module for you right here.